بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد، firstly we have to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with iman, and we praise Allah ta'ala for blessing us with Islam, and we praise Allah jalla majdahu for making us from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we have discussed many aspects about Salat, the wisdoms of it, philosophy behind performance of Salat, 2 rakats, 3 rakats, 4 rakats, and also why we face the Kaaba, why we utilize the Qibla as our focal point. And as Muslims, we clarified that we do not worship the Kaaba nor the Hajar-e Aswad, as certain people try to allege. Now we continue, alhamdulillah, with the virtues of Salah, because Salat is most important in a Muslim's life. It's the differentiating factor between a practical Muslim and a non-practical Muslim, between a pious Muslim and a non-pious Muslim. And according to some ulama ikram, that between Islam and Kufr, between Islam and non-Islam. Today, inshallah, we will continue with the virtues and boons and favors of Salat, and then go into the philosophy of explaining why we say Allahu Akbar, Takbir al-Tahrima, why we touch our ears, why we fold our hands in Salat, and meaning of Surah Fatiha, and the reply which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us when we recite Surah Fatiha. Because as we have explained, Salat is actually a whisper, a discussion, a dialogue between the slave, between the devotee and Allah ta'ala. Then also, why do we make ruku, sajda, qiyam, jalsa? Why we recite at-tahiyyat and the salam? All that, inshallah, we are scheduled to discuss, but how far we go, that I do not know. It is stated in the tabbih of Faqih Abu Lays Samarkandi, rahmatullah alayh, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that 3 karamat, 3 miracles occur for the namazi. Remember that a karamat, a miracle, first of all, what is a miracle? It is a supernatural feat. It is such an action done by a person that the onlooker, he cannot match it, he cannot fathom how it happened. Now you have various classifications concerning supernatural activities. One is karamat, one is the mu'jiza, one is istikhraj, and one is ma'unat. Basically, these are the 4. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a supernatural, contrary to habit, action, activity, event, occurrence takes place at the hands of a Nabi or a Rasul, it is classified as a mu'jiza. It is making the onlookers ajiz, meaning that they cannot match it or do something like it, or come even near it. It leaves them flabbergasted, it leaves them astonished and surprised, hands down, they do not know what to do. For example, the cooling of the fire for Ibrahim alayhi salam, the turning of the stick into a huge serpent at the hands of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, his placing his right palm under his left armpit, and when he took it out, it shone like the sun. Display of the moon by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the waters gushing out of the fingers of beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, concerning Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that literally there are thousands of miracles, mu'jizas. Every ayat of Quran Kareem, according to the scholars, is a miracle of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So minimum, just only in the Quran Kareem, you will get 6,666 mu'jizas attributed to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There are books written concerning only the miracles of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we should at least read one of those books in our lifetime so that we know the status, or try to fathom the status of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. However, that the miracles of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does not make him divine. The point of departure and the bone of contention between us Muslims and the other faiths, Christianity, Judaism, whatever it is, that they made their Anbiya alayhi salams into divine beings. Because the Anbiya alayhi salam performed miracles, they made them into gods and give them divinity, sonhood. We Muslims say that the mu'jizas of the Anbiya alayhi salam, they are proofs of nubuwwat. The mu'jizas of the Anbiya alayhi salam, they are proofs of risalat. And not as others say that they are proofs of divinity. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like all the other Anbiya Alayhi Wasallam, they are divinely nominated personalities by Allah Azza wa Jal. A Nabi is born a Nabi, a Rasul is born a Rasul. A Nabi does not become a Nabi after striving or attaining spirituality. A Rasul does not become a Rasul by attaining spirituality via spiritual exercises, etc. No. They are blessed, they are chosen. That is why we say Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning chosen one, meaning appointed one, meaning nominated one. So a Nabi, a person cannot say that after striving spiritually, a person can reach Nubuwwat. Yes, after striving spiritually and perseverance and endurance, a person can become a Wali, a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a person who is not a Nabi and who is not a Rasul, and he's a pious person, and he's one near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is one who has got proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person, when some supernatural activity, some supernatural feat and event occurrence takes place at his hands, we call that karamat. Now the karamat of the awliya, according to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, that karamatul awliya haqqun. It is written clearly in the classical books of belief, Aqidah, that we believe in the saints, their sainthood, and also we believe in that miracles occur at their hands. However, understand something very clearly, that the miracle does not prove their sainthood. Like how the miracle of the Nabi proves and denotes their prophethood, risalat, nubuwwat. The miracle, mu'jiza of a Nabi is a proof, is a dalil, is a substantiation of Nabuwat, is a substantiation of Risalat and Prophethood. But a miracle of a pious personality need not serve as a proof for the wilayat of the person. And contrary to that, or shall I say vice versa, that a wali, he need not perform a miracle, a karamat, to testify to his wilayat. Meaning that if a wali lives and does not perform a miracle or a karamat, does not mean that a person is not a wali. Unfortunately, our concept and our brain set is that a person has to show a karamat. He has to show some supernatural event. Then we say, oh, he's a wali. However, remember that there are two other classifications, that ma'unat and istikhraj, which we will explain, since I have already touched on this topic and diverting away from the salat aspect, because I feel this is very important for maintaining the balanced aqeedah concern wilayat and nabuwat and risalat of the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. See, a person who lives, Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayh, he had a disciple, a murid. After 10 years, that murid, after staying in the company of Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayh, went to him and told him, Hazrat, I would like to go now. I came to seek permission to leave and to depart. So Hazrat Junaid gave him permission to go. That person, that murid, he said, but I'm slightly disappointed. I said, why are you disappointed? He said, I stayed here and you have performed no miracle. You have shown no extraordinary supernatural feat. So Hazrat Junaid Rahmatullah Alayh told him that how long you stayed here? He said, 10 years. He said, in these 10 years, did you see me contravene any sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam? That murid obviously was observing Hazrat Junaid for the last 10 years, told him that you have not been contravening any sunnat of beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Hazrat Junaid told him that if that is not a miracle, then what do you expect? So we should understand something, that a pious person need not be walking on the water or flying in the air or doing something very tricky or mesmerizing the public or doing something that we cannot fathom. There is a kitab called Nafi al-Khalaik. It is a kitab about ta'wizat and amaliyat, etc. In the last chapters, there is a section on tilsimat, and which means that if you do certain things, the observer will think that you're performing a miracle. Whereas it is just chemical jaggery and it is chemical movement, creating certain things which the person who is watching and observing thinks that this man is very pious and is doing certain extraordinary events or activities. So most of the time it is juggling, it is mesmerism, unfortunately, and people think, oh, this man is pious. If a person is pious, he will be regular in salat. These days, people who are not even performing their farz salat are classified saints. These days, the people who are butchering the sunnat and wajibat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unfortunately, are classified as saints. These days, those who are innovative and acting upon bidat are classified as very pious and righteous, and sainthood is given to them. Whereas Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come with a pattern of conduct, with a norm of for us to live and follow, eating, sleeping, walking, talking. And we should be holding fast to the faraiz, the wajibah, the sunnah, the muakidah, going towards the sunnah, the ghair muakidah, abstaining from evil and harm, and enjoining what is good, forbidding what is evil, and that which is substantiated to do, and that which has got no basis in Sharia to leave out. Then we have what we call ma'unat. Ma'unat, an honorary Muslim, at his hands, via his hands, some extraordinary feat, activity, event takes place, we call that a ma'unat. And this is no proof of his sainthood or even piety. It is just happened via this ordinary Muslim. See, an extraordinary event at the hands of a Nabi proves his Nabuwat. An extraordinary event at the hands of a Rasul proves his Risalat prophethood. A extraordinary event, occurrence at the hands of a pious person is no proof of his wilayat, sainthood. And an extraordinary event via an ordinary person does not prove that this person is a pious person. Understand the levels, the definition and the categories, and as Muslims we should know what is what and where we have to classify things. Unfortunately, we have taken the acts of nafil and brought them into the position of sunnat. We have taken the acts of sunnat and brought them into the position of wajibat. We have taken the acts of wajibat and pushed them into the position of faraiz. On the other hand, our behavior has become that the acts which are nafil, we want to act upon it and stress upon it. The acts that are mustahab, we want to emphasize action upon it. But the acts that are sunnat and muqidah, the acts that are wajib, and the acts that are faraz, that we leave it out. It is like a person who is invited for a meal. And on the dastakhan, on the tablecloth laid, there is the main course, then there is the soup, then there is the salad, and then there are savouries, etc. What happens to a person if he decides, no, that all the salads, etc., that he will eat and regard as the main course. All the savouries he classifies as the main course. All the sauces he classifies as the main course. The onlooker will say that this person does not understand what is important. He does not understand the true classification. What is the main cause? What is the sub cause? What are the savouries? And he does not know how to deal with the main cause, with the savouries, how the savouries are supposed to be dealt with. Similarly, unfortunately, with us, we are missing the point and missing the boat. That which is not important, we're putting emphasis on. And that which is important, we are discarding. And those that are acting upon the sunnat and wajibat and faraiz, we now look down upon them. That is detrimental to the iman of a person. Let alone we not doing the action, we look down upon those who are doing the action, those who are enjoining what is good, those who are forbidding what is evil. We degrade them and look down upon them. And that is eventually detrimental to the iman. A istikharaj is a supernatural activity done via the hands of a non-pious Muslim and also a non-Muslim. You'll find a lot of places, I personally saw this in India also, that along the street sides or in the parks, etc., you'll find a person stand up on a raised platform and he will say that I am now drawing a circle and all those in the circle will be able to witness something. You in the circle, he will mesmerize you and he will cast an evil spell on you and you will think now he is doing supernatural activities. Meanwhile, this is an evil spell he's cast upon the persons standing within that circle, and this person is doing evil action, mesmerizing the onlookers within the circle. Out of the circle, you'll be able to see that he got no control over you. And if you have got strong iman, and you are within the circle and you read various verses of Quran Kareem, then also he cannot influence you. So this person is forcing out istikhraj, he is forcing out, he is extracting viciously from a given point certain actions and making it look supernatural in nature. This person, this is a proof that this person is a sinner, transgressor, evil liver, evil doer, and this person is using satanic forces and satanic energies and power to create his supernatural activity. That was the, unfortunately or fortunately, a slight deviation from the statement that we read. It is stated, Abu Layth Samarkandi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, three karamat occur for the performer of salat. From his head till the sky, a cloud of mercy spreads over him, and blessings are showered as rain. So can you imagine how fortunate this person is, that when he is in salah, he is enveloped in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we performing salah do not realize this. And we have regarded it merely as a ritual. And everybody is going for salah, we going for salah. But if we know that from head to toe, our, let alone from the head to toe, from the head right up to the sky, everything is merciful, spreading around us, blessings are showered on us like how rain pours, then we will also feel this mercy and blessings, and we'll be able to focus better. Secondly, angels gather around the performer of salat from his feet to all the four directions. And this happens to the person performing salah, that the malaika around this person. People want to know, how can I focus in salat? I cannot focus properly whilst I'm in salat. My mind wanders here, there, and everywhere. So if a person has to now think about the blessings that are coming upon him, the thirdly, the angel proclaims, oh, you slave who are making salah, if only you will perceive who is around you or with whom you are conversing. If you did, then you will never terminate your salat with salam, so much so that you would die and never terminate the salah. So if we want to concentrate and focus in salat, which every person, including myself, we worry about it, that in salat we are not focused. Our mind is wandering. And we are thinking about everything else. So if we know that blessings are poured upon us and showered upon us like how rain is being poured, and the malaika are around us, near us, and the malaika are calling out, that you should know who you are talking to, you should know in which court you are. And as stated, a person who knows this, he will not want to give up the salat. He'll want to carry on performing the salat. And he will never want to go away from the mercy. When a person knows that he is now under the mercy of Allah, and the mercy is pouring, he will not want to come away from it. He'll want to stay under it. He'll want to take full benefit from it. And he wants to be blessed all the time. So much so that he would not want to terminate his salat. In Tarheeb it is narrated, beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when a slave stands for his salah, he arrives immediately at the presence of his Rabb. And if the salah, the one who is making the salah, turns his gaze away for some reason or other, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonishes the person saying that, "O slave, I am before you. How can you turn your attention and sight? How can your sight be diverted away from me? Did you find anyone better? So leave off everything and come to me. There is none better than me." Can you imagine that when we are in Salat, we are talking to Allah, we are discussing with Allah, we are deliberating with Allah. And if you read in the kitabs, for example, in the Fazail Amal, etc., you will find that when Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in made Salah, then operations were made upon on them. And whilst in Salah, arrows were taken out of them. Whilst in Salah, that certain occurrences, roofs were falling down, but they were not even bothered about it. They never even know it. For example, when you read Tazkiratul Awliya, Memoirs of the Saints, and if you read other books on Tasawwuf, you'll find the pious personalities, righteous servants of Allah, whilst they were making Salah, that the ceilings were falling down, walls were dropping down, and animals which are dangerous passing by, all that was happening, but Salah they were still performing. There was no movement away from Salah. Arrows were thrown upon Sahaba. Blood was coming out of their bodies. But Salat was still being performed. So that was the real Salah. And that was the Salah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. We can at least emulate it. Obviously, unfortunately, we have reached such a low level of iman that if a mosquito bites the toe, we are distracted and we begin to feel the pain and we begin to scratch and move around. And if something is itching, we will now get distracted. Unfortunately, that small things distract us. Small occurrences distract us. And the other thing we find that this person performing Salat, looking hither, thither, everywhere, and eyes are moving around, whereas this does not technically break the Salah, but it definitely takes the value and significance of the Salat away. There are those who also ask that, can we close our eyes in Salah? It is stated clearly that if you want to do so for a little while to develop a concentration and focus, it is permissible. However, it is makruh. It is not like to keep the eyes closed all the time, because the Sharia wants you to be focused, and we know that in Salah it is mustahab that when we are standing to look at the place of sijda, and when we are in ruku, to look at the ankles, behind the ankles, behind the kaabain, behind the raised bone, to look when we are in ruku, there is mustahab. And again, when we are standing, to look at the place of sijda. In sijda, to look at the sides, at where your hands are, it is mustahab. And when we are in jalsa, then to look at the thighs and the hands, that is the mustahab position. And when we are making the salam, the right salam, to look over the right shoulder is mustahab. And when we are making the left salam, to look over the left shoulder, that is mustahab. So we should be focused that we are not in any ordinary court. We are no ordinary place. We are in the court of Allah Jalla Majdahu. We are talking to Allah. We are speaking to Allah. And the mercy of Allah is showering and pouring upon us. So we should understand that. Thus, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has allowed us, and He has allowed us to come to Salah, and He has allowed us to be following the Imam or making our Salat. And He, because of His grace, so we say Allahu Akbar, Takbir Tahrima, because He is the one, He is the greatest, and He, Alhamdulillah, by His greatness, which we are acknowledging by saying Allahu Akbar, He has allowed us to stand in His presence with our hands folded in great reverence, with eyes downcast and with faces of fear due to the majesty before them. So because of His greatness and because of His boons and favor, He has allowed us to come for Salah, so we praise Him. Inshallah, after the break, I will continue.